Divorce and Recovery, Pastors and Pizza. This is part of my story today. Thank you for listening. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens, a broadcast on Good News. Telling this story doesn't feel like good news to me, and it certainly is not. And yet God works with us in all the bad news of our lives. He brings His grace through the bad news. He brings the good news of Jesus in the context of the bad news of our lives. I can't tell it any other way. There is no real meaning to Christ, our salvation, unless we know how utterly broken and lost we have become. And that is why the book of Romans, with its glorious message, is so meaningful to me, and I hope you'll get it. This is Colin Cook and How It Happens, so listen in. I normally speak on the book of Romans, but I'm telling my story at the moment. We'll get back to that soon. We didn't have a pastor for 2 years during and after my exposure and the embarrassment of the loss of the counseling ministry. I didn't know why for quite some time. Then a pastor came, and he preached some of the finest grace-filled sermons I have ever heard in my life. And I've heard some very, very good sermons, let me tell you, in my time. I was deeply moved, and he didn't try to limit these to 20 minutes. He went on for 40 minutes, and he really brought the gospel to that church. I later found out why. I went to his office one day, and I said, "Pastor, I just want to thank you for the sermons that you have given over these last 2 years. They've been so inspirational, so encouraging." He said, "They were all preached for you." I paused. I could hardly believe what he was saying, and I broke into tears. "They were all preached for you." He knew, or he told me, that no pastors wanted to come to this church because of the controversy surrounding me, and he wanted to come. And he said, "Let me tell you why." He said, "When I was a little boy, a neighborhood or a person in church took me frequently to some ball games. And," he said, "somebody saw me there with this man, and I was accused of being in the attendance of a child molester." That had never been my experience, by the way, but I'm just telling you that this man, this was his experience. And he said, "When my mother wanted to enlist me in church school, no church of that denomination," five of the schools, I think, were in that neighborhood, rather in that city, "no church, no church school would accept me." She didn't know why until she was told that that was a child molester taking your son around. As if that, mind you, could be a problem for the boy. But she said, "He will go to a church school if I have to build it myself." She was so determined. She finally got through, and he attended school. But he experienced that as a very humbling and embarrassing time, and he felt that I needed the same uplift that he wished he had been given himself. And so that was a very, very telling experience, and that he was the man who performed the reconciliation service for me. All of these were little moments of grace, just like the parable of the two ladies, where one of them was a stark contrast in grace to the other one, who was expressing her legalism. Well, my wife and I stayed together for another 10 years, but there was no intimacy after the first 10 years of the marriage, and Sharon was gracious, gentle, attempting to do the best to break the news gently, but she was clearly moving towards divorce. I was too naive to see it. I thought that straightening my life out would be the solution, but the wound apparently was too deep. So we stayed together. Let's see. We stayed. I have it wrong. We didn't stay together for another 10 years. We stayed together for another 5 years. And then we separated and divorced 5 years later. So it was a 20-year lapse between the marriage in 1978 and the divorce in 1998. But during that time, the last 10 years was really effectively an ended marriage, a terminated marriage. And we stayed together just 5 years of that latter 10 years. And the last five, we separated. Do you get that? I think Sharon did that so that the boys could have the security of us both for as long as possible. Afterwards, I mean, I just could not comprehend this. It just, divorce was never in our vocabulary in those first 10 years. We had a very beautiful time together, but I could understand it. It was Sharon's choice to divorce. And I will tell you, though, we are good friends today. We regularly meet together throughout the year for the boys' birthdays and for Christmas or Thanksgiving, whichever one alternates. And we sometimes get together in each other's homes with the boys. I thank God that our divorce was, though intensely painful, was rational, reasonable, to the best grace that we could produce at the time. I didn't want it to happen, but I could understand that the whole experience, especially the public exposure as well, well, I don't say especially, but the public exposure as well, was simply too much for her. And it took her many years to recover from it, but we are cheerful, happy, good friends today. And I'm thankful for that. One person once said, I wish my marriage were as good as your divorce. I know that was a bit of tongue-in-cheek, but I do believe that things don't have to be so broken that there can't be some level of reconciliation. Of course, I realize that some people have had very different experiences, and maybe your divorce has been one that remains deeply painful today because there has been a complete break with any relation relating with your former spouse. I know I'm not trying to set my standard up as a standard. Who in the world would want to follow my example? But at least the grace of the Lord kept us going. Sharon's a woman of grace, and I believe forgiveness and lots of... We went into counseling together, 2 years of counseling. We did all kinds of conversations that could somehow bring the reconciliation, but Sharon was not where I wanted to be, and I obviously was unreal enough not to understand where she was, and so that's how it happened. And so, as I said earlier, there was not a happily ever after ending in this story, in the sense of, well, he had this homosexual background, then he found enough grace and help to become heterosexual, and then he married, and then they lived happily ever after with two kids. I want to say, and I will be saying much more about this, that the happily ever after ending is that they still lived in faith towards Jesus Christ. That, to me, is the great story of my life, if you like. Not the details of it, not the defeats and the failures and the public embarrassment, but the fact that Jesus, because of his righteousness, who had lifted me from the world, Jesus could still embrace me in his arms, keep me close to him, and keep me trusting in his righteousness, by which I am introduced to the Father. That's the greatest news for me. Or about me, shall I say. And The other little trivialities, well, can you imagine Colin Cook being a pizza delivery man, a Domino's pizza delivery man? Where did the money come from in those days? Having lost the ministry, I had to do all kinds of odd jobs. I was tried to sell encyclopedias. I worked in a hotel at the front desk for 6 months. But the most revealing or interesting experience was selling Domino's pizza part-time for 2 years while I continued to work in counseling and sharing my experience and helping others in their various struggles of life. Domino's pizza delivery was a fascinating experience. I went to homes that I would never have gone to in the ministry, went to neighborhoods that I had never seen before, saw the delight of children bouncing off the pavement, the sidewalk, and shouting, "The pizza man, the pizza man," praying with mothers about their kids after I had delivered their pizza. It was an experience that reminded me that probably many ministers would be helped by having a secular job as well along with their ministry, because they would get into homes that and talk with people that they would never talk to in a ministry, general Orthodox ministry experiences. It was also an emotional experience for me, because when you don that, what is it, purple and blue uniform, how gaudy, and that cap, you become another person. You're a different person. You're no longer that person that you're embarrassed to be. You put on a different personality. And it reminded me of what it is to be in Christ. Because in Christ, we put on, in a way, another personality. The truth is, however, we don't don a false personality, but in Christ, as we count ourselves as righteous in him, we put on the truer, more real self. Who are human beings? They have no real identity outside of Jesus Christ. We are broken down. Sin has distorted our personality and our sense of being. But in Christ, we know who we are. We have that cap on. We have that different coat, that robe of righteousness. And we are able to have a dignity, and the children are able to delight in us, that we would never have if we simply strutted around in our own goodness. This odd and strange and different program, How It Happens, comes to you by courtesy of whom? You. Yes, this broadcast, now in its 17th year, comes to you because of you, the listener, who supports it. And I thank you very, very much for your support over the years. As I said earlier, when I tell this story, I wonder whether I'll have any support left. But somehow you, dear people, know the real spiritual reality of what I'm talking about. We failed sinners who find righteousness in Jesus Christ and therefore begin to learn how to live in a better way. You know what it's all about. So if you'd like to support the broadcast, if you would like to become a partner on a monthly basis or quarterly or annually or biannually, please send your donation to FaithQuest P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. That's FaithQuest. Make your check out to FaithQuest P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. Or if you'd like to take care of your donation by PayPal, simply go to our website, faithquestradio.com, faithquestradio.com. Click on the donations button there and you'll see the PayPal icon. Thank you very, very much. These donations are tax deductible, and I'll send you a receipt somewhere in the middle or end of January. Thank you again. I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.